Wendy said to me earlier, aren't you going to do some of those biblical jokes? And, you know, the sorts of ones, you know, who was the shortest man in the Bible? Know that? It was Bildad, the shoe height. There you go. And there are others, but, you know, like how do we know that they played tennis in the Bible? Moses served in the courts of Pharaoh, that's right. And but obviously that aside, that is humour we find from things. We know that it's not exactly in the Bible, is it? But it's a good play on words. But there is humour to be found in the Bible. And I'm not sure that when I was growing up, I necessarily realised that. I mean, yes, Jesus could be quite a fun character at times, but often it seemed quite serious when we were coming to these things. But there are stories that Jesus told that really only work, I think, in total if we recognize that he's using humor to make a point. Don't you find sometimes, for those of us that maybe listen to comedians, particularly the ones who have politics in the background, they use humor and then they kind of punch you in the stomach afterwards, don't they? They make you laugh, and then they make a serious point through the way that they've made you laugh. But Jesus, for example, one of those stories, Jesus said, don't judge other people, and you will not be judged. Or don't find fault with other people is another way of saying it. And you know, you'll not be found fault with. You'll be judged in the same way that you judge others. And he said, why do you notice the little speck of dust in your brother or your sister's eye? I mean, the speck that's so small, this is a way of seeing their tiniest fault. Why do you notice that when you don't notice the plank in your own? This was the best I could do. It is a plank of wood, just happens to be made into a very naff cricket bat. And we had it in our garage, so this would do. And I used to think, well, that's stupid, isn't it? I mean, there's no way that this cricket bat would go in my eye. But the point is that Jesus is deliberately using humour. He's using humour to make a serious point. He's making people laugh before telling them, you're a hypocrite. You're someone who is, you know, you're pointing the finger at others, but not pointing at yourself. And he says, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see, to take the speck out of your sister's eye. Sorry, I'm not saying anything about you, Lynn, but we all have specks in our eyes, don't we? Yeah. So that was humor. Now, another thing here. Let's see. This was the closest I could do. But the camel and the eye of a needle. Okay. This is my needle. Okay. This is going to have to represent a camel. Okay. This ring here. Years ago, my sister-in-law sent me this from Australia for a birthday, I think. Or Christmas or something like that. Anyway, the idea is that you have to kind of try and get the ring off here. And you work in all sorts of different ways. You think, does it go through? And it doesn't kind of work, you know. It just gets all tied up on that. And what on earth do you do to get this ring off? And it does actually have to go through the eye of the needle. Do you want me to show you how? Not going to. I'm just going to prove that, hopefully, that it can be done, all right? I hope I'm going to prove this, that it can be done. I may let you have a go afterwards. Hang on. There's always a cynic out there, isn't there? Not so. Now, I mean, if you like, I might pass this round a little while, and you can have a go. But no force is required. Let me just say before I pass it around, because you never know. No force is required. No untying of anything. No movement of these square blocks from the end of the string. They're stuck in. And nothing really has to come untangled, but you are welcome to have a go. I'll just have to put it back together again in a moment. I'm not sure if I can do that behind my back, but I know I can do it. That's the important thing. So there was that. And this, of course, is Jesus saying to his followers how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. And he said it's very hard. It would be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle. Now, on your tables, you do have probably a more, slightly more accurate rendition of a camel and a needle. And this is there for those who might wish to colour it. It doesn't have to be children, but anyone, if you want to get on and do that during this service, that's fine. But I used to think about that, and I think about these little needles, and I think, well, obviously it's impossible, isn't it? What a ridiculous story. Does that mean that it is totally impossible for a rich person to get into heaven? But again, Jesus was using humor. People have tried to kind of come up with other solutions, like the needle was a gate into Jerusalem and the camel had to get down on its knees and sort of edge through the gate. I'm not sure anyone's ever found said gate. But it has been a suggestion of what it might mean. There are probably a few other suggestions of what it meant out there. But it's humor. It's Jesus using humor to make a serious point. So we will come back in a moment and look at another story in which Jesus... If you don't like this, don't blame me. Blame Bob Hartman, whose book this is. Let me tell you a story, said Jesus to the crowd one day, a story all about building. There once was a man, a wise man, who wanted to build a house. Oh, yeah, that's fine. You can show your foolish houses that side as well. That's fine. So he found a big rock. A really big rock. A really, really big rock. A really, really, really... Sorry, that was gratuitous from me, but... and he said, this is where I'll start. And he dug a big hole in that really big rock. And that's where he built his house. Then the rain came. Roz wants this, I can tell. Oh, I'm not sure it worked, but anyway. Decided it was, less wet than a water pistol, really, but and just some will get. Okay. I was so looking forward to that. The rain came, and the sea rose, and the wind huffed and puffed. We need to do that, don't we? To blow that house down. That house? But that house did not move. Did not move. Not one inch. There was another man. A foolish man who wanted to build a house too. So he found a nice beach. A soft, sandy... You can do better next time. Nice sandy beach. And he said, this is where I'll start. And he smoothed out the sand... And tossed out the shells, and that's where he built his house. Then. No. Right, no, that's worth that. Would you like to be the rain, Victoria? No. The rain came. Oh, it ruins the hair, Sheila. The rain came. And the sea rose. Did you want some on you? Another one. Right. And the wind huffed and puffed and huffed and puffed enough to blow that house. Some swaying houses, I think, here are needed. To blow that house down, and it fell with a shiver and a rumble and a crash. Listen to my words, said Jesus. Do what I tell you, and you will be like that first man. For the things I say are true, solid as any rock. And you can build your life upon them. So just to reflect briefly before we move towards the end of our time together. I was thinking earlier as well that, you know, laughter and humour, it's one of those great gifts, isn't it, of which there are many that God gives to us and which Jesus displayed perfectly. But of course, humour and laughter, it's also one of those things that, you know, there's a good side to it, but there's a bad side to it, isn't there? And we might think about the difference. If any of us here have ever been laughed at, it's not a good place to be, really, is it? It can be done very cruelly. And clearly that side of laughter is not something that God would wish us to use. But on the other hand, rather than being laughed at, we can laugh with others. And sometimes that might involve laughing at ourselves. And I must admit, Wendy and I, we were able to visit a couple of good friends going back over 39 years. I worked out back on Tuesday. We talked for 6 or 7 hours, and we know each other well. And I reflect that for particularly one of those amongst us, and it wasn't me and it wasn't Wendy, you know, there are lots of things that make us laugh about his character, his personality, never cruelly. And eventually he realizes, and we laugh with him, and he laughs with us. And that comes out of the relationship, doesn't it? And almost what you were talking about there, Trevor, as well, about, you know, building up that relationship of trust and being able to poke fun at people and you know, share a joke with them, but be prepared as well to receive a bit of the same back and to join in with that. So laughing with rather than laughing at. A few things just to go back over. Benefits of laughter. Yes, Pat, good for your health. Apparently, it boosts immunity. It lowers stress hormones. It decreases pain. It relaxes your muscles and helps prevent heart disease. So perhaps laughter really is the best medicine. I do recall once, though, hearing of someone who laughed so much during an episode of The Goodies back in the 70s that he sadly died. But his wife wrote to The Goodies to thank them for making his last time such good, such happy times. But probably he was old anyway. And but it just makes you think, doesn't it? Mental health benefits as well. Laughter adds joy and zest to life. It eases our anxiety and tension. It relieves stress. It improves our mood. It strengthens resilience. And also, as I think we've reflected, there are social benefits. Strengthens relationships. It helps attract others to us and perhaps us to others. Enhances teamwork. Helps diffuse conflict. Promotes group bonding. And so there are some things that perhaps we can do to help enhance laughter. Smile is a good way, isn't it? Anyone been to see Hamilton, the musical? Oh, just me then, and Wendy. There's a point in that, you might have seen it, where one character says to the other, "Talk less, smile more." And there's something in that, isn't there? You know, don't perhaps always be so serious. And smiling is the beginning of laughter and can be contagious. Count your blessings as well. Perhaps literally make a list of the good things in your life. When you hear laughter, move towards it and maybe ask what's the joke, what's so funny. Normally people are willing to share that. Hopefully it wasn't at your expense, in which case you might put them on the spot, and that might be a good thing too. Spend time with people who make you laugh, perhaps. People who laugh easily, and bring humour into conversations. Those who know me well and my family know that just occasionally I laugh so much that I cry. Anyone else like that? And it is uncontrollable and just can't stop, much to the amusement of my family, it has to be said. Don't try me out this morning. It could be embarrassing. But maybe create opportunities to laugh. You know, watch a funny film or TV show. Maybe seek out funny people, share a good joke or a funny story. Host a game night with friends, it said. This is a list I found earlier. Just play around with children or grandchildren. Do something silly and maybe make time for fun activities. I, as many of you will know, play a bit of golf. There's not much to smile about last time I went out, but it reminds me of when I went with my family to Captain Mulligan's Golf over in Milton Keynes. Have you been there? I've only been once, but crumbs, it was hilarious. We just went for, I think, one of our birthdays. And, you know, they're just things that make us laugh, aren't they? And I think humour is a great gift that God has given to us, along with so many other things. Laughter is something that is for our benefit. And so we can remember those things. So whilst there is a time for weeping, there's also a time for rejoicing, for laughter, for fun. Well, we are going to have a song now, which just Sheila is going to play. It's not very guitar friendly. Thank you, Sheila. And it's the song, "Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You. Let Me Be as Christ to You." And again, I mean, when you look at songs, most of the references to laughter come alongside grieving. But it's a reminder that I think we laugh with others as well as cry with others when that is appropriate.